Today we're talking to Janet Ruth Heller, a poet, a literary critic, a college professor at one point at Western Michigan University, teaching English and women's studies, an essayist, a playwright, a fiction writer. Did I miss anything?
I think you got most of it.
And you were once president of the Society for the Study of Midwestern Literature and president of the Michigan College English Association. Two poetry books have already been published, and we are here today to talk about Janet's third poetry book called Exodus. Janet also has published a children's book, known, I think, more about taking on the topic of bullying, which is fascinating. But we might turn to that a little bit. But today's talk is more about Exodus. Exodus, how did this book begin for you, Janet? Where was that seed of an idea? Because it's very unique.
I took many courses in Hebrew literature as an undergraduate. My majors were English and Spanish, but I also took a lot of Hebrew courses. And I also studied Hebrew poetry with the rabbi of the University of Chicago Hillel Foundation, Rabbi Daniel Leifer, may his memory be a blessing. And he focused our course on poetry by modern Israeli poets that had something to do with biblical characters and events. And that really spurred me to write a lot of the poems in this book. So I've been working on this book since the 1970s.
Wow. So there's a whole tradition out there. Personally, I was aware of it in prose. I'd read some prose about taking a character out of the Bible and filling in all those gaps, and there are frequently many. But this was my introduction to poetry doing that. And your style is interesting. Some of them just made me laugh out loud, and others were quite serious. How did you choose who to write about and how to tell that story and how to fill in those gaps?
There needed to be a link. I needed to feel some connection with a character or a situation. And because I've been working on this since I was in my 20s, even in my teens, I would feel links to different people as a younger person than I do now. And now I'm finding myself drawn to different characters and different stages of life and with different issues. So if there was just some link that would help me to empathize with a character, it would enable me to write about that person.
Did you look for themes that maybe would resonate, even though they're so long ago, that might resonate with something that's happening today? Feminism, for instance?
Well, I've been very active in the women's movement, so certainly I was drawn to many of the women characters in the Bible, trying to imagine what their situation would be like, and also trying to imagine what it would be like if they were alive today. For example, I have a poem about Leah, whose husband didn't love her very much and had other wives. And so I imagine a Leah today where her husband goes on all these business trips and it's clear to the reader that he's cheating on her and she's trying to hold things together around the dinner table. Mm-hmm. So I try to have sympathy even for people who represent a position that I don't necessarily take, but I try to, I find the stories in the Bible provide me with a lot of pretty universally known symbols that I can draw on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do my own adaptation of different stories. And I find that challenging.
Yeah. When you were working on these poems, was there any part of that that was a discovery for you too, a spiritual journey for you as well, as you tried to imagine these characters in these persons in a deeper level than most of us perhaps do?
Yes, sometimes poems went in a different direction than I originally intended them. For one poem called Penina, a student, I was teaching that at Grand Valley State University, And a student had come to my office and had been swearing at me because she'd done poorly on the midterm, and this was all my fault. And I was driving home the, you know, about an hour and a half from Grand Valley State University, and I was thinking, when I get home, I'm going to write an anger poem. You know, I'm going to really get this out of my system. But what wound up happening was I felt a lot of sympathy for this student because she was an older student. She had several children. And I wound up thinking of her as being like Peninnah in the Bible, who's sort of getting shafted. Her husband prefers a different wife. And no matter what she does, she can't. And I was thinking about different conflicts between women in our own time, women who choose to have a career, women who choose not to, women who try to combine both, and the conflicts among these different groups of women. So I wound up feeling a lot more sympathy than I thought, and the poem that I wound up writing is not an anger poem at all, and it's from Peninnah's point of view. So the poem took me in a totally different direction than I had been planning during my hour and a half journey home.
All right. The name, the title, Exodus, if you can talk to us about that, why Exodus?
Throughout my writing career, I've been drawn to the notion of Exodus. We often get in situations in life that don't work out. Maybe a relationship, you know, with another person doesn't work out, whether it's a friendship or a marriage or a working relationship. Sometimes a job doesn't work out. There are all sorts of changes in life that we have to make, and I see these all sort of encompassed in the notion of Exodus, that there are times when we have to leave a situation. We have to get out of there and do something new, and it's difficult, but it's a way that we grow.
We've talked previously about, you know, making waves at the synagogue, and was there anything about this, working on this project, or perhaps giving women a name that, that they may not have ever earned, had, in biblical texts? What kind of waves do you think you might make with this book?
I think because I'm a feminist, more poems than many people would do in a book like this are from a woman's point of view, the point of view of Rachel, or the point of view of Miriam, or the point of view of Tzipporah, or many other women in the Bible who don't get a lot of space in the biblical narrative. And some of my retellings, some people may find radical, or it may give them some unease, but I try to take very different approaches, and I want the poems all to be different, so I don't want this sort of level, a sort of boring space. I want to sort of develop very different kinds of people with very different values and different views of life.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to read them to a public as yet?
I've read them at various poetry readings, and they've been pretty well received. I've also read them at my synagogue, the Congregation of Moses, people enjoy my reading them. I tend to choose one that fits with the Bible portion of the week, especially if I'm the one chanting it. I have the opportunity to make a brief commentary on the portion that I'm chanting in Hebrew, and then there's also an opportunity to read a poem that fits with either the characters or the situation of that portion.
Now, your background is Hebrew. Is this a book that you see for that audience, or is this a book that anyone can read?
I think that anybody who's at all interested in the Bible would be able to read this book, though because I'm Jewish, the poems are from a Jewish perspective. But in most cases, I'm exploring a character. I have no intention of trying to proselytize people. My goal is simply to explore the psychological situations and the issues that I think the stories and characters and events in the Bible raise.
Now, as we talked about in your bio here before, your range of writing is quite remarkable, you know, from literary criticism, fiction, poetry, children's books. How do you work? Do you work a little bit at a time on everything, or do you set aside different times in your life that right now I'm feeling like a children's book and right now I'm a poet? How do you make all of that work?
I try to be open to what comes, to sort of have a readiness. Sometimes I'll take a trip and find a volume of poetry in a bookstore that really interests me, and then I wind up doing literary criticism on that, or it inspires me to do some of my own writing because I really, you know, get involved in what I'm reading. In one case, my husband and I took a trip to Edith Wharton's summer home, and they were dramatizing in Lenox, Massachusetts, and they were dramatizing two of her short stories, and I got really interested in one of the stories, and I wrote some literary criticism about that. So I try to sort of be open, and in many cases, I'm working on a bunch of different things at the same time, and I'll spend different days of the week, you know, working. You know, one day I might work on the poetry mostly, another day I'll work on the literary criticism, another day I might, you know, send out some manuscripts.
It's fascinating to me because these are people many of us have heard about all our lives, and you've brought them to an entirely different level of life. Is this something you think you might continue, or has this worked itself out of your system, this poetry tradition?
You mean doing more biblically-based poetry?
Yes, yeah.
I probably will write some more. I have some that I decided not to put in this book. I may revise them for another book. I don't know. I haven't really decided, but I felt that I had finally enough material, you know, working on this since the 1970s, to put together a whole book, a whole collection.
That's a long time.
So
1970s to today. So, and I understand you have other poetry manuscripts hidden away in the desk drawer.
I'm working on a nature poetry collection.
Ah.
And I'm also working on another more general with a bunch of, you know, different topics like my traffic stop and folk concert books.
Okay.
At one point I had these religious poems integrated with my secular poems in a manuscript, but I couldn't find a publisher. So in 2010, I separated all the religious poems into their own collection, this one, and I separated the more secular ones into folk concert, and then I was able to find publishers.
All right. Is there a poem that is closer to your heart than others that you could share with us today?
I'd like to read the poem called Israel. The Hebrew word that the word Israel is based on, Yisrael, means wrestler with God. And there's a point when Jacob is fleeing from his brother because he's sort of stolen his brother's birthright. And this is about a very intense relationship that I had, and it's also about Jacob's struggle with this angel. And he gets the name Israel after the struggle. So it's called Israel. I wanted to flee from Esau to escape his taunts and his band of thugs. I ran to the river Yabbok, but you seized me, and we began to wrestle. In the gloom between twilight and dawn, I struggle with you, clinging to your torso, always maneuvering, demanding your name. Sometimes you twist my sinews in my heart. Sometimes you strain my back and my thigh. Sometimes we hold one another, amazed at our own power. Until you bless me, I will not let go.
And can we look forward to readings, or how can we find out more about your work online, maybe, or in Kalamazoo?
I have a website on Red Room. I also have one reading scheduled on Tuesday, March 18th, starting at 7 at the Portage District Library. I'll be reading with five other poets. The reading is called Fairy Tales, Myths, and Legends. And there'll be people like Judy Ritma, who teaches here at Western, and Hetty Haber, who also teaches at Western. and Kathleen McGookey, who's a Western graduate, and Julie Stotz-Ghosh, who's also a Western graduate and who teaches at KBCC.
Wonderful lineup.
And Lynn Patterson, who taught for a long time in the Kalamazoo Public Schools. So we'll all be reading fairy tales, legends, and myths.
Well, thank you, Janet. And this is a wonderful book, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.